Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world. And now your hosts, Yog and Manish.
What to do when you don't have an ad budget? That is what we're going to be discussing in today's ABM Conversations podcast. This is me, your host, Yagneshwaran Ganesh.
And this is Manish Nepal.
Right now, we are amidst an unprecedented time in the sense where we are noticing that as marketers, our budgets are continuously coming down. And on the other hand, our customers are also focusing on spending on things that are absolutely essential. But as marketers, our show must go on regardless of what the situation is. One of our previous guests, Brooke Ellis, who joined us to discuss advertising, she said, we need to be advertising when things are going really well. But at the same time, when things are bad, we must really be advertising. But what do we do when the budgets are not there at all?
The short answer to that question, I think, is organic marketing. I think organic marketing presents an immense opportunity for marketing teams who suddenly find themselves in this economic downturn when their ad budget have been cut down drastically or stopped entirely, right? And I think these marketing teams can leverage the power of organic content to develop conversion-ready interaction points. By that, I mean they can borrow certain aspects of paid ads into their existing and future content marketing strategies to not only just convert leads to customers, but also to build deeper emotional level connection with their customers and develop a certain level of empathy with them.
Right. Before we get or delve deeper into the organic aspects, let's also recognize that paid ads do have their place. In the sense, if you have a lot of budget lying around, then it makes more sense for you to bet on ads. Second is, if you want to focus on a very specific target audience, then again, yes, go for it. And thirdly, when you don't want to wait for the organic results to kick in, when you want to get results quickly, then again, it makes more sense for you to go for paid ads. But the fundamental problem in marketing is that businesses tend to look at organic and paid as two opposite poles. It's not an either-or scenario, right? So to get into that, let's also take a step back and understand the three most important pillars of growth. One is product or service. Second is distribution. And third is retention. By product or service, I mean the thing that you're actually selling as a company. And the distribution aspect is where the ads and all the other marketing activities that we're talking about comes into. And the third part is retention, where your customer support, customer success, account executives, all of them work together to ensure your existing customers stay with you. And more importantly, let's come back and recognize that ads and your organic marketing are not competing elements, but they're actually trying to achieve the same thing in the sense that it could be about amplifying your brand messaging, or it could be about converting your prospects into customers and into paying customers.
100% agree with you on that, Yag. I think ads and organic marketing activities go hand in hand and they are means to the same end. But I also feel like I should clarify that the use cases, the nuances of when you use ads versus when you should use content or organic content marketing activities is different. For example, you said there are three use cases when to use ads, which is when you have a lot of money lying around, when you want to get quick results, and when you want to be very specific in your targeting. By contrast, organic marketing lives to serve just the opposite of what these ads does, right? Number one is organic marketing is absolutely free. You don't have to pay anything. Number two is you can't control the targeting on your organic marketing activities because Once you publish your organic content assets to the world, you don't control who sees it, who consumes it. Maybe you can optimize it to certain search engines, but that's the extent of control that you can set on it. And number three is you can definitely not get quick results with organic marketing activities like you do with ads, because by design and default, organic marketing is something that takes its sweet time to get results to you. And a lot of times these results are not even attributable or measurable. You can't measure the impact of your organic marketing to leads converting into customers or to sales that are happening because of these content assets, right? But these, in my understanding, are not necessarily bugs. They should be looked at features. And I have some really good reasons to say that. For example, I think organic marketing is something that stands to solve a real problem and initiate a conversation with your customers, right? It's not like you put up a Google banner ad and have a CTA for customers to click and you say, hey, click on this button and buy this product for 10% discount. It's not as transactional as that. I think content marketing or organic marketing activities require you to do some level of research into understanding your buyer's psychology. You want to understand the motivation behind why they want to buy a product that you are trying to sell and try to genuinely help them, right? And when you do these kind of homework, you naturally come closer to them. You understand what keeps them up at night and what sparks their imagination. So you develop a deeper level understanding of your customer's motivation. And if you do your organic marketing right, you also do a lot of other things in due process. For example, you don't only make it ready for conversion, but you also hit other targets like building brand awareness for your products or engaging with people and retaining them to come back to buy with your brand again and again. And if you do it right, it is also a way for you to develop long-lasting, evergreen pieces of content which will stay in the public domain for as long as it stays there and helps you convert more people in due process. So it's a gift that keeps on giving, and it's not as short-lived as an ad campaign that you might set up today and you might have to take down tomorrow. But before I hand over the mic to you, Yag, I would really want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, which is Zest.is. Zest is on a mission to add value to the marketing community. For the people listening to the show who are not aware of what Zest does, Zest.is is a marketing content stream that sits on your Google Chrome browser as a new tab extension. It's a content submission platform where you can curate high-quality articles, podcasts, infographics, videos, and all the marketing-related content that you can think of. Zest's AI-powered algorithms allow you to handpick your own personalized content feed that is specific to your unique taste.
Right. And as marketers and content creators, Manish and I have used Zest at least 1,000 times, and we still keep using it to promote our content to like-minded marketing communities, as well as to find great marketing-related content pieces. And if you want to boost your high-quality content to an elite community of marketers, then go ahead and sign up at zest.is/contentboost. Just let them know that you're coming from ABM Conversations podcast, and you will get a $75 discount on your first boost. So getting back to our topic, Manish, let's talk about how can we convert people through organic content. So the number one thing that I have in my mind is we need to go ahead and build conversion-ready organic content. So what I mean is that fundamentally, people make a common mistake of assuming that every prospect or every customer go through this linear path of AIDA, that is AIDA, which stands for your awareness, interest, desire, and action. People don't go through this process every time. Today, the prospect comes in very randomly. You know, they can come from anywhere, anytime, through any channel. You know, conversation can start through social media. It can start through your support channels. It can be through a chatbot, so on and so forth, right? So you need to create content that caters to different stages of the funnel. You cannot always think that somebody will land on the top of the funnel content, then consume mid-funnel content, and then go down to convert and becoming a customer. Make sure that the kind of content that you create kind of caters to every part of your funnel. In the sense, you know, most of the marketers sometimes tend to say that marketing is a volume game. You create content for different stages of the funnel and make sure that the more number of content that you create, it will convert further. Not really. Marketing is not a volume game. It's actually an impact game. So identify the key questions or the most common questions that your prospects in the targeted niche are going to have. What are they worried about and what keeps them awake in the night? And try to address those things with your content. For instance, take a look at some of the blogs from Ahrefs.com, right? So they have really long form content that is at least 2000 to 2500 words, where they cover a topic in depth. Now, this is not necessarily focused on any stage of the funnel, but as you go in, you find things to be really useful there. And you make sure that from there, people can also go ahead and convert, or from there, they can go ahead and consume another piece of content, depending on where that prospect is in their buying process. But of course, you know, we can take some of the aspects from the paid ads that we discussed some time back, right? So we can borrow some of the elements of paid ads to your organic marketing copy. Ask yourself, how can you make something really interesting, right? So be it your free trial that you're offering or, you know, discount that you're offering, how can you make it really interesting? For instance, it could be something as simple as, you know, ungating your content and, you know, putting it in such an interesting manner that it makes people to go ahead and take action. In the sense, when you look at an ad copy, what is that copywriting that makes an impact? It's like you give an irresistible offer. You talk about something that really touches somebody's pain points or problems, and they take action towards that. So you can ungate your content. You can open up yourself to a lot more people. And as long as your content is meaty and meaningful, people will take action with that. And the advantage of building such evergreen or keystone or long-lasting piece of content is that it checks across all the boxes. In the sense, it could be building awareness. It could also engage. It could also convert. And more importantly, it would retain your existing customers. And unlike ad campaigns, that have very short lifespans, as you mentioned some time back, organic marketing is going to be there as long as you don't pull it down.
100% agree, Yag. And I'm going to piggyback on the few points that you mentioned about the mistakes that most businesses are doing. Number two point that I have in front of me about how you can compensate the lack of ads budget to run organic marketing activities is, you have to find your channel market fit. And my experience of being a content marketer in the B2B space for 8 or 9 years tells me that the fundamental approach to look at building good organic marketing assets is you have to approach it in the same way you approach building a product for a market, right? You have to begin with the end in mind. You have to understand who you are building the marketing assets for so that your distribution becomes easy. So just like you find a product market fit for building a product, you also have to find channel market fit. And most businesses make this mistake of trying to sell everyone and sell everywhere. I think that is fundamentally wrong. You have to understand where your audience hangs out most in the internet world, and you have to go all out there and engage with them and try to solve their problem in as genuine way as possible. So the tip here is go and find 2 to 3 channels of engagement that is actually working out for you in engaging with your ideal customers, and invest all your energy to engage with your audience there. And if you have noticed, this happen, this is happening a lot more commonly than you would realize actually in platforms like LinkedIn. I'm sure people listening to this show must have seen a lot of people, a lot of sales folk and marketing folks making a LinkedIn post saying, hey, I have this great piece of content that I want to give you out for free. All you have to do is comment below saying I'm interested or yes in the comment section below, and I'll DM it to you personally. And that is nothing but a spin-off to the traditional form of content marketing that exists in a brand's website. Now they are just extrapolating it to a social media channel, social media platform. And this is a recent trend that I've seen from a very close distance happening, not only in LinkedIn, but in other channels like Quora and Facebook and wherever people are trying to target their audience, right? And I think this is one thing that a lot of marketing teams can do in order to overcompensate the lack of ad budget and leverage the power of organic marketing.
Right. And, you know, interestingly, you spoke about different people posting this on LinkedIn. I'm going to add the third point, which is very, very close to this, right? So you have to identify key influencers within your organization to get into the organic party. In the sense, you build an internal influencer team. It could be your salespeople, it could be your marketing people, or pretty much anyone who is influential on social media over a period of time that you notice in your company. In a sense, you know, you leverage these people's personal branding on social forums so that you increase your reach with the relevant audience. For instance, when you position these salespeople or marketing people as a subject matter expert on your domain area on platforms like LinkedIn, you can now run inbound campaigns, you can run hyper-targeted campaigns and at an account level without spending a penny. And but before you start doing this, you need to make sure that you know, the team has done some amount of homework beforehand, and they've identified, or at least they have a strong understanding of who the ideal customer persona is and what your brand positioning stands for, what is your pitch, and if you are having the voice that your organization wants to have. Right. So once you get aligned to these things closely, then you will be able to successfully pull this off. And you will be really surprised that, you know, what a public platform like LinkedIn or Facebook or Quora can do for you when you really get your act together to do this. And as we said before, you don't need to spend a penny of your marketing budget on this. Right. So you can start writing blog posts. It could be LinkedIn posts. It could be doing webinars, or it could be even live videos, so on and so forth. And it could actually become some sort of a ABM channel for you, in the sense, from what you post on these platforms, it can move on to a one-to-one conversation. And from there on, it can go on to exchanging emails and then finally converting into real business. But on the other hand, I also have to mention that there are certain player businesses that tend to worry or think about, is it going to be an employee personal brand versus your company's brand? If it's going to be more emphasis on this over the other, I would really say from my experience that, you know, you need not worry about this. The more number of people that come up and become the face of your organization, the better it is for your organization to be able to building trust with your target audience. Because your target audience wants to connect with people, and it's not about following a particular brand. The more people that they see and they interact with, the more better it is going to be for your organizations. So the successful employees make your business successful as well.
Absolutely. And number four point that I want to address is the advantage of casting on any co-marketing opportunities that you can find or come across, right? And this is often an overlooked strategy that I see a lot of businesses not taking advantage on. And I will elaborate on what I mean by co-marketing opportunities. It could be as simple as writing guest posts for a brand that operates in the same niche as yours, who is also trying to serve the same set of audience, but is serving a different product or service to them. So they don't have anything to take away from your brand, or your brand doesn't have anything to take away from them. So if you can enter into a partnership with these kind of brands that exist in the same universe as your product does, I think you can leverage a lot of organic marketing activities. For example, you can cross promote each other's in your newsletters, or you can write guest posts, and you can also open up integrations for each other so that you can tap into the existing customer base of the other brand that is in the same domain, that is in question, right? And I think we live in an age where competition is no more differentiation. I think collaboration is what everybody is trying to do. If you are open-minded about collaborating with marketers or marketing teams from coexisting brands in the same domain, I think you can tap into a huge potential of amplifying your organic marketing impact to make your leads convert more to customers.
Right. And I think at this point, let's conclude this conversation and leave it open to you guys to share how you are leveraging organic content marketing to improve your brand presence and your lead conversion, and how you're approaching marketing entirely in this current scenario where your budgets are going down by the day. And until we hear from you, and until we come back to you the next time with another episode, thank you, and this is bye from me, Yag.
And this is bye from me, Manish. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.